Hi, welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be. God, we thank you that your word is powerful. God, we thank you that your word, Lord, can wake us up in any moment. Lord, I thank you your word can come alive in any moment. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would minister into people's hearts this morning. God, we don't pray for an information transfer. God, we pray for impartation. Lord, I pray that this word this morning will change our lives. And as Holy Spirit, you bring it to life in our hearts. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I just want to let you know we don't have any kiss cams at Exchange Church. So you're good. We've been in a season of talking about God has spoken, yet graciously continues to speak. God has spoken, but yet graciously is continuing to speak. What do we mean by God has spoken? We mean He has spoken the word. We have scripture. We know what God has said. In fact, I believe that if some of us are actually struggling with hearing from God, the chances are God has already spoken the answer of what you're looking for. It is written. And so a little deep dive and a little bit of Bible study might actually, you might find the very thing that you've been looking for. So God has spoken, yet graciously, God continues to speak. Now, for some churches, this is a controversial statement to make, that God is continuing to speak to his people. And I like to say that when I read scripture and what I get from scripture, it's very clear to me that God is still speaking to his people. And it excites me because it means that my relationship with God is not dead. It means that it's not dry. It means that when I pray, I should have faith in my prayer and an expectation that God will speak back. And often God speaks back. But that still in itself is a mighty big claim. And the reason why I say God has spoken and is yet still graciously speaking, the reason I include the word graciously is for some reason, and I don't know why, God, the one who spoke the universe into existence, has chosen to zoom in on me in a moment, in a season, and speak to me. God somehow graciously zooms in on you and he speaks to you. How gracious is that? There's 8 billion people on the planet, yet God has the capacity to be able to zoom in on my life and speak to me. And so I just think that is incredibly gracious of God to do that. John 10:27 says this, and this really opens the door to this whole conversation. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Do you know it's your birthright to hear God's voice? Did you know that you have, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you have access to the Father? You have access. The Holy Spirit, because he dwells within us, he brings scripture to life. We have that because of what Jesus did. Now, it is a big claim, however, when someone says, God has spoken to me. In fact, as a pastor, whenever anybody says to me that God has spoken to me, alarm bells instantly go off. I don't know if this is the same for you, but I've heard some pretty wild claims of what people have claimed to have heard from God. I don't know why it happens this way, but it tends to happen in the parking lot after church, in a very uncomfortable setting. I've heard of single men reaching out to single women and telling them, God spoke to me, you're my future wife. I noticed, for true, my brother is one of those guys who did that back in the day, but he did end up marrying the girl that he said, so kind of, sure. So when someone claims that they've heard God's voice, I think it shouldn't be a flippant, nonchalant thing that you declare. I mean, it's a big deal. And if God has spoken to you, It should transform your life. It should sometimes relocate, reposition. I mean, it's a radical thing to declare that God has spoken to me. Yet God graciously continues to speak to us today. In fact, I think that we should test it with scripture. We should test it with wise counsel. And I think we should have regular fruit inspections. Amen. So when someone says, God said, or God told me, in a year's time, I want to look at the fruit trail of their life and see whether that word that they received or declared has actually drawn them closer to God. They're planted deeper in a church. They're closer and more tight-knit with community rather than the opposite, where there's strife, where there's trauma, where there's constant issues because of what they've declared. Often I've heard people declare that and they make this claim, and usually it's because they're offended. They make a claim and then off they go and they do their thing. And the problem is that now years later, they're isolated and completely cut off. And I don't think that is a healthy thing. Scripture. I believe 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Scripture, as we heard last week from a phenomenal message, which if you haven't heard, you can go back onto the YouTube channel, is a great message and reinforcement about scripture. And the way I put it last week, really simplistically, is this, is I love that the fact we live in a world where everything is changing, right? And because of change, it opens the door to the possibility of fear. It opens the door to the possibility of anxiety, of stress, of everything going wrong because of change. And this is why we've said we need lawyers, because we make contracts in good times. So if there was no change, if everyone who said they were going to do what they're going to do, and you could trust every single person, then there wouldn't be this fear. There wouldn't be this insecurity. But because people don't live up to what they say and they don't do what they're going to say, you know, I don't know if you ever hired a contractor to do work on your house and they didn't quite do exactly everything that they said they were going to do. And that's when you have to go back to the contract. So what am I saying is that I thank God that God doesn't change. I thank God that the word doesn't change. So we have an anchor that we can hold on to when everything around us is falling apart and everything is going wrong. We can hold on to the one that doesn't change. Amen. Scripture. I believe wise counsel, Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. I think wise counsel is super important when it comes to involving people in the process of understanding when God speaks to you. Did God say something? Did God speak to me? Wise counsel is someone that you can bounce things off. Do you know, there have been message titles, there have been things that I've wanted to say in my message, and I thank God that there's people around me that have gone, do not say that. Do not do that. That's what wise counsel is there for. It helps. And this is biblical instruction. And regular fruit inspections. Matthew 7:20 says, therefore, by their fruit you will know them. I believe that hearing God's voice is a fascinating and important part of our relationship with God. In fact, it should be a part of your relationship with God. So let me clarify with a little bit of an example and an illustration here. And this is a motorcycle example. Now, for those of you who don't know me, when I was younger, I was a wild child. I was kind of right out there. Any extreme sport, I was completely into it. One of the things I used to love, I bought a very high-powered motorbike. And, you know, those ones, crutch rockets, they sit and they fly around the track really fast. That was me. And I used to love doing wheelies. And wheelies was fun. In fact, one of our first date, Ellie and I, she went on the back of the motorbike and I did a wheelie right down the main beach called Bright La Sand. She was not happy, but we got through it together. One of the things that I learned about doing wheelies is it's not the new person that crashes. It's not the person who's learning how to do them, who's getting on a bike for the first time, who crashes because they're overly cautious and they only let the front wheel go up a little bit. It's the person who's been riding a bike for a long time that becomes very comfortable with doing wheelies and they start pushing the boundaries. They start doing things that are outside of their limits, and next thing you know, they're on the road having their skin torn up. Now, I want to tell you, when it comes to hearing God's voice, it's almost exactly the same. It's not usually the newer Christian that says wild and declares crazy things that God has told them because they're overly cautious. They're still learning how this whole thing works. They're asking lots of questions. But there are people who have journeyed with God for a long time and they start declaring things that God said to them that are absolutely wild and out of control. Now, I don't know if you've watched any televangelists, and there's a lot of them that on TV that say some pretty wild stuff. Amen? It's not just me. Okay. But when they started out, man, some of the teaching from years ago of some of these preachers was incredible. But as they journeyed along, I don't know what the scenario is and what caused it, but they get to this place where they're saying and declaring all of these different things, and now it's completely off center. It's wild, it's crazy. And I don't want that to happen in my journey and my walk with God. I don't want me to get to a point where I get up here and start saying things that are out of control. So the point is this, is that we actually need people as part of the process in helping us discern when God's speaking to us. Wise counsel, using scripture, looking at our fruit and seeing what's the true motivation of our heart and why we believe what God has said. Now, I think sometimes it's not the new person, but it's a person, sometimes it's the pastor who actually really gets delusional and deceived and starts saying wild things. So here's a great way to illustrate this. And there's a famous preacher by the name of John Alexander Dowie. Has anybody heard of him? John Alexander Dowie. He was a young boy born in Edinburgh, Scotland, in 1847. Now, this man was what we would call a God's general. He did a significant work for God. He migrated to Australia as a young boy and then eventually went back to Edinburgh to do study, and then he came back to Australia to help his family through a hard season. But then he felt the call to ministry. So he took over a church on the outskirts of Sydney, a little town called Newtown, and he pastored this church. Now, true story, he walked away from that church after a year because he didn't feel like the congregation deserved him because he felt like he was bigger than where they were at. Anyway, it's a funny story. But the man was a bold man. So he moved on to another church and he started pastoring that church. And after a bunch of stuff was starting to happen in the country, basically a doctor and this mother was with their daughter, and this daughter was dying. And the doctor had filled out the death certificate, but the mother was not happy. So she sent for this pastor, and this pastor, Dr. Dowie, he came and showed up to this scenario and saw everything that was happening. And the doctor basically explained to him, listen, I've got to get out of here. The only thing I haven't filled out is the time of death. So can you please take the death certificate, and when she passes, can you write that information in for me? And because he had been reading his Bible and he saw what had been happening in the book of Acts and how people were being healed, there's something that rose up inside him. He said, no, I'm not going to accept this. And so he threw the death certificate on the ground and he went into the room. And then he didn't even know how to pray for sick people, but he laid his hands on this young girl and prayed for her. And after about 5 minutes, she completely sat up. She asked for a cup of hot chocolate and a piece of toast, and she was completely healed. And so this radically changed this guy's life. He John Alexander Dowie now saw that healing was a possibility. So then what did he do? He went and prayed for all members in his church, and he started to see a bunch of miracles. And his faith really started to stir. Now, you have to remember, this is back in the 1800s, so there's not internet and phones and communication is not happening as quick. So he thought he was one of the only people on the planet that had access to this. So he got really excited about it and decided it was time to move to America. He comes to the San Francisco Bay Area. And in the Bay Area, he asks for reporters. And this is all recorded from secular reporters. And you can look this up in history books. But he got reporters to come. And he had this unbiblical doctrine or theology that he would only pray for people that were Christian because only they deserve to be healed, which is kind of a bit crazy. But, however, he is interviewing all these people who are wanting healing while he's got all these reporters there. And then there was a lady who showed up and he determined that, yeah, this lady is a Christian and I can pray for her. And what this lady had was a large cyst on her neck the size of a coconut. And so he started to pray. And again, this is recorded. You can look this up. He stands up and apparently smacks the thing on the lady's neck and it falls to the ground and she's completely healed. And two of the reporters jumped up and screamed and were freaked out and ran away. But this caused a huge stir in the Bay Area and a whole bunch of people started to come and get prayed for. And he was praying for thousands of people and there was healings that were happening in the Bay Area. Isn't that awesome? So he then decides that it's time for him to move to Chicago. He moves to Chicago and in Chicago, it was the second biggest city in America at the time. And at that time, the World Fair was happening. And so at the World Fair, he decides the best thing to do was to get a booth and preach the gospel and pray for sick people. Well, what ends up happening is they wouldn't let him in because they thought he was crazy and they thought he was weird. And I hope there's a lot of people out there who think you're weird. Amen. And crazy. But for Jesus. And so they wouldn't let him preach there. What does he do? He sees right at the entrance to the World Fair, he sees an abandoned building and he decides to lease the building and hold church services there. Well, of course, at the start, there's no one with him. He starts praying and some people get healed. The church grew to 10,000 people. 10,000 people, and there were recorded healings that were happening on a weekly basis. In fact, it became such a problem that the local authorities wanted to get him out. They didn't want him there. And so it was law in America that you were not allowed to lay hands on the sick and pray for them because you didn't have a medical license to do so. And so every time his service would finish, they would have a police wagon waiting for him and they would take him off to the local jail. And he was too stubborn to pay the $1 or $2 fine because he didn't believe that he was doing anything wrong. And so this went on. He was arrested over 100 times. This went on for a long time. He eventually goes to court. And in the court, and this is all recorded, you can look this up, he had two lawyers who were explaining everything to him, but he wanted to represent himself. So he went to trial and he fought against the government and basically he got given victory. And to this day, the reason why in America we are allowed to lay hands on the sick and pray is because he won that victory in that courtroom. So we can thank John Alexander Dowie for the privilege of being able to lay hands on people and pray for them without a medical license. Amen. Which is pretty wild. So he won that court case what ended up happening is he's hearing God's voice. These miracles are happening and it's amazing. And then he has this season where people are telling him, you need to run for government. He did that, but he failed. And it kind of, things started to go south and dry up. So he went back to the church and he started focusing on the church and praying for people. Then the church grew back up again, big. And then he got this idea in his head. He was in California and there had been a drought. And so he prayed for it to rain. And by the end of the service, it was recorded that it was raining torrents of rain, like it was a downpour. Someone came up to him, a group of guys came up to him and said, you know who you are? You are Elijah. And he said, that's crazy. I'm not Elijah. And he rejected it. But people kept on saying it. And over a process of time, he started to contemplate it and thought, maybe, you know what? Maybe I am. And then it was at one point that he eventually declared I'm Elijah. And he said that. And then he said in his heart what he wanted to do was he wanted to build what's called in Illinois, the city of Illinois, a city called Zion. And this is, his vision was big. He built this city of 20,000 people. And all these people came, people were being healed, and all this stuff was happening. But he started to believe that he was Elijah. There's a picture, Scott, you'll be able to see on the screen of what he looks like. This is him dressed up as Elijah at the end of his life. And I mean, it's quite a remarkable story of someone who started out in their journey hearing God, but then ended up thinking that they were Elijah. How's that possible? How can someone go from seeing what he saw to thinking that he's Elijah? And there was basically a bunch of historians and theologians did a study on his life, and this is what they came up with. They worked out that he had no accountability. So take away wise counsel. That's off the table. In fact, he would only receive counsel from people that would say what he wanted to hear. That's all he would receive counsel from. He was just looking for people to confirm what he believed. And then he would vilify anyone with a different or conflicting opinion to his. That's what he would do. And then you think about it, his life ended up in that place because of how far and how isolated he became from healthy people around him. You know, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And I think when we isolate ourselves and when we surround ourselves with yes men and they are saying what we want to hear, then eventually you see pastors become and people in churches become very narcissistic. They think the church service exists for their gift to communicate or preach. They think that this is all about my opportunity. No, we are all servants serving what God has called us to do. We are here to bless and serve people as men and women of God. We're not here to build our own empire and make our own name famous across the land. No, this is all about Jesus. It always has been about Jesus and lifting up his name. And this is why we believe in reading the Word of God and having it as an accountability. You know, now you may think, man, that's a very crazy example. It's very extreme. But you know, this same deal happens in my life. I've experienced the same thing. I, once upon a time, bought a car, and the car in the newspaper ad looked fantastic. I drove all the way up to Sacramento with a pastor friend to buy it, and guess what happens? When I get there, they disclose to me that it's been in an accident. I should have walked away. I should have just walked away, but I didn't. I felt bad for the person that drove me, and almost felt like, I don't want to say it's God, but do you know when you get that thing in your heart and your spirit, that check where it's like, don't do it? I think that's God sometimes speaking to us. So I had that check. By the way, we're going to get to some pretty heavy scripture in a minute here, so it's all good. Now, what ended up happening is I bought it. The hardest part was not copping a beating from Ellie when I got home to tell her that the car had been in the crash. Well, it turns out that I picked the car up, I bought it, and I should have walked away, but I didn't. And eventually, I just kept on justifying the decision because I didn't want to look like an idiot for buying it. And I didn't. But everything on the car was just happening left, right, upside down. It kept on braking. It was my breaking point was when I was driving along the 680 and the engine caught on fire, and the smoke is going everywhere. It was like a portable fireplace going down the 680. I had to pull over to the side, and I'm like, okay, this is a really bad car. Ellie was not happy. Let's just say that. But do you know what? It started with one decision. It just started with one decision. There's a little video of a domino here. This first domino is using a toothpick to maneuver it. But as you look, the last domino, which is about to lift up, is 180 pounds. 180 pounds in weight. And that one little decision, that's me in Sacramento, that first domino, buying this car. And the last domino represents me on the 680 with my car on fire and everyone around me panicking. So I really do believe that when it comes to hearing God's voice and we're willing to declare that something is God, we really want to make sure that it's God, because that one little decision can evolve into something chaotic and catastrophic in your life if you're not wise and careful. Amen? So now let's get to my scripture. So surely there's something in scripture that can help us and instruct us regarding God's voice. Surely it's not just something that, here you go, God's voice, you're out there on your own and good luck. And if he speaks to you, there's no rules, there's nothing, it's just you and God, good luck. No, in scripture there is instruction in how we can hear God's voice in a healthy way. So, now I believe this, undoubtedly one of the ways God helps us recognize his voice is through other people. Hebrews 13, 17, and this is my main scripture for this morning. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So just a quick observation from this scripture. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Godly leadership will correct behavior and will challenge attitudes or whatsoever because they care about your soul. That's the heart and the motivation behind the challenge. But legalistic leadership will correct your behavior because the law is the goal. It's all about the law. You broke the law. I don't like your behavior. It annoys me because you didn't live up to the law. And what happens is Christians who become legalistic sin patrol their congregations. Amen? They sin patrol behavior. You know, I had an idea the other day. I think it was a dream, actually. I woke up and I'd spent a day with Jesus. And imagine you in this scenario. You've spent a day with Jesus. You've seen him spit in mud and rub it in someone's eyes and they heal and their eyes open. You've seen a lame beggar get up for the first time. You see a woman caught in adultery find hope in the darkest moment of her life. You see miracle after miracle. You see 10 lepers transform before your eyes and one come back and say thank you. Now imagine if you were transported back and you had that experience that day with God. Would you come back and preach law and rules to people? Would you come back and say, no, you can't do that anymore. Stop doing it. No, you would be transformed. You would come back and tell everyone, let me tell you about a man who sets people free. Let me tell you about a man who I watched lower. I saw these four guys lower a guy through the roof, and the guy literally gets up and is healed, but he forgave his sins. It would change the way, it would change everything. You would not come back and preach law. But this is what happens, is ungodly legalistic leadership focuses on our humanity. And that's why I think it's important when it comes to understanding God's voice, is that we have healthy leadership in our place, in our relationships, so that we're not being, you get my point. There's a wonderful tension, I think, that exists here in Scripture. And so it says here, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. So the way I put it is like this. Submission is a tough word. It's hard. There's a part of me, my flesh part, that does not want to submit. Amen. I think everybody understands what that's like. There's a part of me that says no. You know, and so for example, I might believe that I've heard God, and I love this example, is there's a missionary who comes to church. and he's from Istanbul. And he's telling people all about the good work of Istanbul and what God's doing. And so there's a new Christian in the crowd who's been saved for 4 minutes. And he hears this and says, man, I'm moving to Istanbul. I'm selling everything I own. We're off. We're going for it. But many of us who have been around or are a little bit more mature know that he probably should work out some doctrine first. He should probably work out how to develop a prayer life, how to develop a devotional life and get some of those foundational things right. Because it's like, if he goes over to Istanbul now, it's going to be a challenge. So he gets told by leadership, no. And he says, well, hang on, this is a godly thing. You can't say no. You see that this tension comes up. And so what happens is this man says, well, he's either going to submit to leadership or he is going to rebel and do his own thing. And the way I see it is like this. There's another scenario where there's a mature Christian and maybe there's something that they've wanted to do, but they know the Holy Spirit in their heart is telling them no. And the way I always used to explain this one is there was a girl that I dated before Ellie, and I thought maybe this could be the one that I marry. But in my heart, I knew the Holy Spirit was saying no. It was a big decision, right, who you marry. But the Holy Spirit was saying no. But on paper, I went to my leaders and said, what do you think? And they said, oh, she's fantastic. She loves God. She's in church. But in my heart, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. The Holy Spirit was convicting me, saying, no, I have something better. Not that she was bad, but I have something better for you. And so I can either reject what the Holy Spirit's saying, or I can embrace what the Holy Spirit and allow him to challenge me and think. So here's the way I see it. If submission is the word, then it's the correction of church leadership and it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that keeps me in a tension of submission. So that when hard times come or when challenging seasons happen, I can allow the leadership, the godly leadership that's been put in place to bring me back into a healthy place. Or I can allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to keep me in that beautiful tension of submission. And I just want to bring a quick reminder here. Psalm 75:7 says, but God is the judge. He puts one up and he exalts another. So I have to trust that God is ordaining the leadership that he puts in place for my life when it comes to me navigating this journey of hearing God's voice. Because it's an important part of this process. You know, I think it's crazy, but I think it's wild that the scripture is very specific about who should be an elder. It's very specific about the qualifications, about the maturity, about the fruit of the person. It's very, very specific. As a church, we pray very hard and very long about who is in leadership. It's not a flippant decision about who are community group leaders, who we are saying, we believe these are godly people that hear God's voice. It's an important part of this process. And so I think when the Bible says that obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. I think this is a biblical principle that's actually helping us in this journey of hearing God's voice. For me personally, I thank God for the leadership that has been placed over my life and the journey that got me to this place and the decisions that we have had to make. I thank God for that leadership because I wonder where I would be without that good iron. I wonder where I'd be without those people who were able to help me along the journey and in this process. So now I believe that it's worth mentioning is I believe God brings into my life appointed and unappointed leaders. That means people that I am part of a local church and it's the appointed leadership of that church that I look to and I submit to. But there are unappointed people that God can use that he brings into my life that can give counsel that are great people. But here's the thing. I'll always take the advice or wisdom of the unappointed to the appointed leadership of the ones that God has placed in my life. because I don't want to become independent, have an independent spirit where I operate and function outside of the covering that God has placed me in. I always make sure that I'm trusting and listening to the ones who know me best. Because usually the unappointed people don't know me the way that like the appointed people do, amen? They really know who I am and what I'm like. And so I always do that. But here are some biblical grounds, and we'll finish with this. It's a great way to finish. Here are some biblical grounds for disobeying church leadership. Put your seatbelt on here. And before I give these to you, because I know a lot of people, we've all struggled with this. Amen? We've all been through seasons. Before I give you this advice, I want you to know I have learnt equally as much from narcissistic leaders as I have from godly leaders. It has, in each season, I have grown just as much. I've served under people who were hard to serve under, abusive spiritually. I've served under people who are so loving and so kind that you know that they care for your soul. And in each season, I tell you, there's a lot of growth to do in each season. Here's number one, biblical grounds for disobeying leadership. When required to sin or act contrary to scripture, when leadership is requiring for you to sin or act contrary to scripture, that's when you have biblical grounds to say, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not going to participate in that. Number two, when leadership operates outside of its God-given authority. So when they start behaving in a manner that is ungodly, or they start living a lifestyle that's ungodly, then I think even though the principles of honoring leadership, the Bible's very clear about the honoring of leadership, those principles don't change, but it's the person who needs internally for them to be challenged and reprimanded. Number three, when false teaching is being promoted. When I start hearing false teaching or abstaining from teaching, that's when I think I have a biblical right to actually go, hang on a minute. No, I don't believe there's four gods. And then the last one, when abusive or harmful behavior is occurring. When abusive or harmful behavior is occurring. Now, this is, again, obviously a little more of a teaching word based on the last words that we've had. But I really felt like this was very important because a lot of people are hurt in churches over this very topic of people declaring stuff that they've heard God say. I mean, you don't have to be in church long enough. If someone was to leave church, it's not long before. And I've been in a church where the leadership basically has said that I'm the devil, the spawn of Satan. They've said things like he'll never serve God again. The anointing has left his life. He'll never be in ministry again. These are some of the things that people are declaring as what God is saying to them. And you're like sitting there thinking, man, okay, maybe that's true. And it's when you really have to know who you are in Christ and know what the word of God. Yeah, you have to know what God declares about you over what man says about you. And when you know that, then you're able to run free. But again, coming back to a lot of people in church life have had a lot of trauma and a lot of hard experiences over people declaring what they believe is God, and it's actually not God. And so this is why I think we need to always have healthy, godly leadership that cares about your soul, and you are, they're not trying to use you for their own gain and their own sake, but they're actually wanting to see God fulfill the potential of what God has in and through your life, amen? That is healthy leadership that is focused on helping and building other people. Well, and again, it all comes and it all ties back into every single time the hearing of God's voice and even the interpreting of scripture. God has spoken and God graciously continues to speak. God has spoken. I want to make sure that the interpretation of that scripture of what God's saying is biblically sound. And God continues to speak. I want to know that the things that are being declared are biblically aligned and are not some wild out there thing that people make up from their own feelings and their own place of themselves. And so as a church, we are always wanting to hear God's voice. Amen. And a little decision can set off a domino effect. We made a little decision that we're going to go for it with the building. We made a little decision, but I tell you what, those dominoes are starting to fall right now. We're watching, you know, the domino. You get to the, every time I go to the building, it's another $100,000, it seems like. Just for driving up that driveway is $100,000. Oh, just so you know, you need to have an umbrella that, I mean, what? Sprinklers, and then it's electrical, and then it's HVAC, and then, one week I get a quote to remove some stuff underneath the church for $70,000. The next week I get a quote for the same thing for $5,000. It is an emotional roller coaster, but we've set this thing in motion. And how many people know we want to be hearing God's voice with this? We don't want to be pursuing something that's not God. And I think that's why we need wise counsel. That's why we need to know the scripture when it comes to how to make these decisions and how to hear from God. And that's why we need regular fruit inspections, not just with what God's doing in us corporately, but in my life personally. When's the last time you looked at the fruit of your life, the impact that you're having on the people around you, and the impact that you're having on the kingdom? And that's why we invite wise leadership in to partner with us in that process, so that we know that we're actually hearing from God and not from self. What an exciting journey that we're on. The possibility that God can speak to us and what that opens up in terms of how do we navigate that. I want to encourage you, if you do not have wise counsel in your relationship with God, if you have not invited someone into that place, I want to encourage you that when you're processing and making decisions, significant decisions and maybe somewhat small decisions, have someone you can bounce that off. To say, hey, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm thinking. What do you think? It really works. You know what? Ellie and I were about to pull the trigger on a worship pastor from Colorado. And we thought, man, these guys are awesome. Our board said no. I had to swallow 14 hard pills, pride pills of, but I can totally see this person's going to work. They're great. But do you know what God had waiting for us? Jose and Yvonne. And then do you know what that led to? Pablo and Maggie. From listening to wise leadership and not trying to force it and do it myself, and actually trusting the other people around. Yeah, it was hard because I thought, okay, I know they're wrong. We'll just let this whole thing fall over. And it just kept getting better. The opposite of what I thought was going to happen. Who's in your life right now as wise counsel, speaking into what you're going through, the major decisions that you're making that could actually help you? And I'm going to finish with this. Is there was a beautiful person from church, single person, and they brought a partner to church. And funny enough, everyone just had a check in their spirit about this person. And sadly, the person didn't want to listen. Correction of church leadership, conviction of the Holy Spirit to stay in that safe place, that beautiful place, such a strong word, submission, such a strong position that you can take. Didn't want to listen, went off, married that person, and from that day forward was a nightmare for them. I think the marriage lasted a year and a half. Not that we wanted that, not that we prayed for that, but man, I thank God for wise counsel, for leadership, for godly people who are praying into my life, who are listening to God for my life. I pray that you invite someone. I think often it's not the problem that you don't have someone. It's often the problem is that we don't invite someone, because there's definitely people who want to pray and speak into your life and encourage you in that process. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm excited to continue to hear God's voice as this journey is unfolding before us, and we're navigating this season, listening for God and watching God move in people's hearts. And I encourage you that you should be of that same place of opening up your heart to say, God, okay, what are you going to speak to me over this summer? I mean, we've been talking about hearing God's voice for this whole summer. So God, I just thank you right now. I thank you that you're in this place. God, I thank you that you're ministering to people and speaking to people right now. And God, I pray for people who are in a place where they don't quite fully yet understand and recognize your voice. God, I pray that peace would flood their heart. Lord, and I pray that truth, Lord, scripture would be quickened to their memory and shall not return void. Lord, and they're able to discern in partnership with you what it is that you're speaking into their life right now. Holy Spirit, whether it's on a spectrum of conviction of sin, Lord, to what you want to do in their life next, pouring a vision into their heart. God, I pray that every person in this room would have wise counsel. They would invite wise counsel into their heart. They would find godly people to pray with and to believe for with, Lord, what you're doing, Lord, in and through their life. God, we thank you that you're a good God and that you want to speak to us. Lord, that you're not hiding from us, Lord, but you are a present God. And God, I pray for people who may say they haven't heard God's voice yet. Lord, I pray that they would have faith, a faith would stir in their heart this week, Lord, to hear your voice. Lord, we thank you for that. And God, I pray, Lord, as the worship team worships, Lord, that they would be seeking your voice for what songs to sing. Lord, I pray as the kids ministry and leaders, Lord, I pray as they prepare that they would be seeking your voice for what you want to speak to the young people into their foundation. God, I pray, Lord, as we plan over this next season, Lord, people would be listening for your voice. Lord, we're not fighting this battle alone. We thank you that you're with us and that you're for us.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.